My own granny, Brenda Doyle, Ni Dhuil, Dubh Gáil, Black Stranger. I like that translation from the Irish, Black Stranger. Even though my mother was a red-haired woman, copper, chestnut like a horse, thick, coarse hair, she put a copper rinse in it. I like the notion that her lineage was perhaps from some black-haired, black-eyed Spanish stock who may be intermingled with Moors who must have come from Africa, which would explain my nappy hair. My Uncle Morris, her brother, 3 years younger, a career in the civil service, former governor of the Bank of Ireland, see his signature on the pound notes, therefore an authority on many subjects from fiscal to fact, says, it's black stranger from the kind of shield on the Viking ship they arrived on. Fionn or Dubh, fair or dark, nothing to do with hair, just another kind of Viking. Well, then, maybe her crowd had black souls, so they chose a black shield for their boats, just to show the world how dark they were. Her mother's side were O'Grownies, related to Father O'Growney, who wrote a book that standardized the Irish language. Her mother's name was Agnes, but was affectionately called Pert, Pertie. I have to tell you, as a child, I loved my Granny Doyle. I loved her so much I called her my own granny. As opposed to Vincent's mother, Granny Dowling, she was my other granny. Granny Doyle was a child's dream. She knitted beautiful cardigans and Aran sweaters with blackberry stitches. Her cooking was glorious, pot roasts in clay pots, her slowly cooked sausages and rashers and eggs always perfect, never burnt like Mammy's. Even her toast, the thickness of the slices, the way she pressed the hot, browned, white toast with the handle of the knife before buttering. Go easy on the butter, she'd say. During the war, the butter was rationed and the bread was black. Tea was rationed too. In other words, be thankful. I was. She always had biscuits in her sliding door cupboard at ground level. So when I was staying there for ages, like when Mammy was on tour with the show, I would ask, Granny, can I have another biscuit, please? Ah, you know what they are, chicken. And I could slide back the door, the tin of biscuits always in the same place, at the back of the bottom shelf, right-hand side. The cupboard smelled of sugar, raisins, and currants. If I opened the wrong tin, in the incredible almond and whiskey-soaked heavy fruit smell of last year's Christmas pudding or cake escaped. The huge radio on top of the cupboard, the same radio they had during the war that Mammy and Morris used to sneak downstairs to turn on low, listening to the jazz, forbidden, immoral jazz. The curtains drawn for the blackout and the parents asleep upstairs. I loved my Granny Doyle, but to this day I can't imagine how she was ever got the name Pertie, a most unlikely Pertie. She was a serious woman, superstitious. You'll never have any luck if you don't go to mass. A churchgoer. At 15, I told her and Granda the truth after reading Camus and Sartre that I didn't go to mass anymore, and that I actually hadn't gone for years, and that I'd been lying, and that it was no good talking to me about it. I didn't even believe in God. Well, they began novenas and pretended they didn't hear me. So soon, I retracted everything and went back to lying. What mass did you get on Sunday? 11:30, Granny. She was a private woman too. Never tell anyone your business. Every day of my mother's life, she rang her asking her, what did Mammy want to be gallivanting all over the world? Hadn't she everything she wanted there in her own home, her four children? What do you want to be an actress for? It's a life of hardship. Hardship. The same phrase every day of her life, from the time we got our own telephone, and probably before that too, when we used to use the telephone box across the road beside the bus stop, next to Buckley's Motors, Goldfish Pond. She never acknowledged that Mammy was an actress, earned her living that way, that it was her life spark, the passion of her existence. Why do you want to go outside your own home? The life in the theatre's hardship. Well, so is bringing up four kids alone, without a husband, on £12 a week, Granny, working as an agent to get other actors work, and watching the great parts going to actresses who are willing to schmooze for hours in pubs. But schmooze is an anachronism. My granny never heard of schmooze. Well, don't mind a woman being in a pub. She must be the one of the few women in Ireland who could actually have said that she was never inside a public house. She would never have dreamed of demeaning herself so. Granda told me proudly that Vincent asked him to have a drink with him once in a public house. The women, Mammy and Granny, waited outside while they had their pint. Mammy was furious. Granny had no desire. Just waiting was right. So how did she get the name Pertie, this woman born in the late 1890s, who hated to be photographed, who married Valentine Doyle as a 29-year-old spinster? I never had to leave my own house. Your grandfather just knocked on the door and asked me to marry him. When they married, she moved to another terraced house in her native East Wall with her bedridden mother in tow. Granda's wedding gift to her was their mahogany bed and dresser and chest of drawers, made himself after work in his attic, French polished, dark, and beautiful. Maybe it was her Titian hair, or the fact that she was on a camogie team when she was young that she was called Pertie. Agnes O'Grammy, the woman whose home gave me safety and warm, slow, perfect, there is time for everything time. Time to have soup before you do your homework. Time to rub coconut oil into your fuzzy hair and brush it in the late evening until it sparked electricity in the dark. Time to put 26 sausage ringlets in my hair and a maroon ribbon before I go to school in the morning. Time to pick gooseberries in the back garden. Pour tea leaves on the rose bushes. Help Granda in the garage. Hand me the spirit level. Where's the clamp? Let's dovetail these corners. No nails. Are you my assistant? Pass the claw hammer. Time to read and go on picnics to Ireland's Eye with a Foxford car rug on her knees. And yet, I know, for my mother growing up the girl with a younger brother, she was robbed in this same house. She was beaten with a leather strap, and the only way out of it was if Morris cried uncontrollably. And Granny would say to Granda, stop, Val. Morris is crying. You're upsetting Morris. So she conspired with her brother and told him her secrets. She rebelled early, and the first boy she went out with was a sailor. Harmless enough, mind you. He was in the Irish Navy, which had two boats somewhere off the coast of Cork. But she wore his sailor scarf with a flair. Then she became an actress. Then she married an actor. And well, I mean, that's tantamount to... Well, that's as bad, if not worse, than those women who sit in public houses drinking.